ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 9, Text 25, Translation and Commentary by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Chakrena kshuradharena jahara pibata shiraha haristasya kabandhastu Sudhaya plavito patat Chakrena kshuradharena Jahara pibata shiraha Haristasya kabandhastu Sudhaya plavito patat. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, using his disc, which was sharp like a razor, at once cut off Rahu's head. When Rahu's head was severed from his body, the body, being untouched by the nectar, could not survive. Purport. When the Personality of Godhead, Mohini Murti, severed Rahu's head from his body, the head remained alive, although the body died. Rahu had been drinking nectar through his mouth, and before the nectar entered his body, his head was cut off. Thus, Rahu's head remained alive, whereas the body died. This wonderful act performed by the Lord was meant to show that nectar is miraculous ambrosia. First, I'll have a look at a few words in the verse. Kshura dharena. This term is fairly well known. Do you know that verse? Kshurasya dharasya nishitaha. How does that verse begin? Utishtata jagrata prapya virangna bodhata. Then? Kshurasya dhara. Nishita duratyaya durgang patas tat kavayo vadanti. From which shastra? Kathopanishad, yeah. So the get up, wake up, utishtata, jagrata. Attain or become aware of the boon of human life that is obtainable now. Just like the sharp edge of a razor, this path is difficult to traverse, so say the learned. So that's one word. Now Srila Prabhupada writes here, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, using his disc. Is it a his or a her? Well, the name Hari can be either male or female, so no problem there. What about Kabanda, the headless body? Ever heard of Kabanda? Ramayana, who was Kabanda before he got... He didn't get his head chopped off. Why didn't he get his head chopped off? He was killed, he was a demon who was killed by... Rama and Lakshman, yeah, Rama. So he didn't get his head chopped off. Why? Didn't have a head. That's right. Headless body. His headless body. The head is the mouth, everything was all in his chest. There you go. So cheating. All cheating ends. Cheating, cheating. I've cheated this one. Anyayena. What is it? Anyayena. what is it, Sanchayam? Artha Sanchayam, yeah. Illegally, getting money by illegal means, it all ends at death. Mrityu Savaharaschaham. I am death, which takes away everything. So the cheating that everyone does is ended by time, of which Sudarshan Chakra is a representation. But in this case, the cheating of Rahu didn't stop because he remained alive as a head only by the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Otherwise, be careful. The cheating won't help us. It gets us in a lot of trouble, this cheating propensity. Cheating means to forget Krishna, ultimately. And the path of the truth, the highest truth, the whole truth, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, is simply to accept, I'm a servant of Krishna's, let me serve him without any personal desire. Now, we have heard the term consciousness raising. You probably haven't heard this, but it's part of the New Age terminology, consciousness raising. We'll preach to people to become vegans and to be good, to be kind, to be nice, gratefulness, compassion, love. So these are all very good things, are they not? Without Krishna consciousness, it's all cheating. It's all yatha bhasa yatha tamaha, the reflection within the darkness. It's not the real thing. Relatively speaking, to be a vegan is better than to be a hamburger gobbler. But it's like saying sattva-gun is better than tamagun. Yes, it's better. It's something like saying Karupur is closer to New York City than Salem town. New York City is how many thousands of kilometers away? I don't know. Quite a few thousand. And the difference, Karupur is closer, it's 5 kilometers closer. It doesn't make much difference when you're such a long way away. So to say that, yes, it's very good, be good, be nice, all these things, be compassionate, be grateful, but without Krishna consciousness, we're still a long, long, long way away from the real thing. And it's like being a good, kind, nice, grateful prisoner in the prison. Basically, you're there as a criminal. If there's no motive to reform one's criminal activities, just like we hear sometimes someone, mafia boss, and they're very kind and loving to their family members, and then they just go and shoot a bunch of, or have their enemies, they're very nicely playing with their grandson, and then they get a phone call that their enemy has done something, so he makes another phone call to a hitman and just go and kill him, finished. So nice, very nice, I met a very nice man. So kind and loving. See, he's nice with his grandchildren, but we say, no, it's not like that. You see, we're consciousness raising and talking to people, you have to be spiritual, but there's no clear definition of what spiritual is. Therefore, it's all cheating. In fact, they avoid any clear definition because they don't think there is any clear definition. It's just something to be experienced. Love, It's true, Krishna consciousness is to be experienced, it's love, but it's specifically for Krishna. That's the point. Srila Prabhupada insistently promoted Krishna. He made the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. Despite being requested to make it the International Society for God Consciousness, so it'd be all more inclusive. But Srila Prabhupada didn't want to be inclusive in that way. He wanted to make it clear that this society is for Krishna. There may be so many societies which are promoting God, children of God, and this and that. There was some society in the prominent in the Western world at that time called the Children of God. Make it clear, Krishna's to Bhagavan Swayam. He didn't make things vague. Whatever you may say about Prabhupada, if you're going to be, you can, if one is to be objective, someone might not like him. That's their misfortune. But if you're going to make an objective statement about him, he was very clear in what he wanted to present. No mystic clouds, puff, poof. With someone standing inside a cloud saying, love, compassion, gratefulness, peace. And Prabhupada wasn't like that at all. He gave the truth, who is Krishna, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And he emphasized observance of rules, rising early, taking Krishna prasad only, chanting at least 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna mantra every day without fail, following four regulative principles, all these things. Srila Prabhupada emphasized this. We don't find that Prabhupada talked a lot about, oh, you should feel in your heart love for all beings. That's there in Bhagavad Gita. Advaishta sarva bhutanam maitra karuna evacha. That's there in Bhagavad Gita. But that is specifically yomad bhakta same priyaha, in relationship to devotional service to Krishna. It's not just some sarve sukhino bhavantu, let everyone be happy. Yeah. But how? How are they going to be happy? That's not stated in that verse. So just let everyone be happy. Yeah, but by Krishna consciousness. So without Krishna consciousness, if we're nice and kind and grateful and compassionate and caring, we're a rascal. Is it not? Is it stated in Shastra? Harava bhaktasya kuto mahan guna manorate nasati dhavato bihi nate vidu swartha gating hi Vishnu. There's so many evidences in this regard. Given by Prahlad Maharaj, right? The Harava Bhaktasya verse spoken by Prahlad, is it? Is it? It's in the fifth canto, isn't it? It's in the fifth canto, spoken by Prahlad. He pops up in the fifth canto before in the seventh canto. So what's the beginning of that Harava? Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavatya kinchana Saivari gunais tatra samasate suraha. So real qualities are in relationship with Krishna. Everything else is cheating. That's all. That's all. Have you heard Prabhupada's lectures? He said, that's all. Again and again and again. He said, he'll make a statement, that's all. That's it. Clear fact. And many times Prabhupada says, that is a fact. He'll often say that just to emphasize his point. So we shouldn't privilege these so-called human values over satisfying Krishna. Rather, we will act in a way that the people in general may not appreciate if it's pleasing to Krishna. Now, we don't generally try to invite the scorn of the public. But if necessary for Krishna, we should be prepared to do anything. Of course, this understanding shouldn't be misused. It is important to keep public favor if we are to preach Krishna consciousness. But we shouldn't be so much concerned with public favor that we compromise our Krishna consciousness. And that's a lot of what I complain about, that in the present time within the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, there's so much pandering to the public that we almost lost our message, it seems. So at least we're not presenting it to the public. We're presenting you can do yoga to burn fat and tone the body. You know, sign of Krishna. And opening schools in which we say that we'll train them to be leaders of society, but not mentioning Krishna. So the public may be very pleased by that, but if we don't satisfy Srila Prabhupada and Krishna, then the whole thing is useless, as we sing every day. Yes, ya prasada nagati katopi. We don't have any destination. We're not going anywhere if we dissatisfy the Self-Realized Spiritual Master, who is the representative of Krishna. But then all good qualities will come without having to say, you should be good, you should be kind, you should be nice. Become a devotee of Krishna, and then automatically all good qualities will manifest, because it is the nature of the pure spirit soul to be full of good qualities, as is Krishna. And it is the nature of the conditioned soul to have the exploitive tendency. So why we say to be good, be nice, be kind, loving, and all these kind of things. In the material world, the admonition to be, in material society, the admonition to be good, kind, nice, compassionate, grateful, and all these kind of things, that's to help keep society in order so that we can cooperate for sense gratification. Without Krishna consciousness, all these telling people to be good and nice, it's to keep the exploitive spirit in check. Because if we're too much exploited, then we can't work together as a society, and it inhibits our own individual sense, it inhibits everyone's sense gratification. So we have to cooperate to build buildings, build roads, and have some order in society so that we can all cooperate together and enjoy sense gratification. That's why this so-called good qualities of materialists, although it looks very good, but it's just another phase of sense gratification. And that saying is there, power corrupts. If you have, someone may be very humble, or very polite, but then if we see they're put in power, then they mistreat others, if they think they can get away with it. That means their politeness or their humility was a social device to so that they don't get smashed so much by someone who's above them, or that people appreciate them. It's not actually a good quality coming from the soul. So I'm trying to present the understanding of pure devotional service as I've learned it from Srila Prabhupada. I'm also trying to keep on that path myself. But it is very difficult when all around in the name of Krishna consciousness there's this fuzziness and non-Krishna conscious preaching. We're opening a school, and what was that? That shloka school you showed me? Some shloka school, and there's no sign of any Krishna consciousness in the advertisement. But there's something there spiritual. And shows all the different sports and dancing and all these kind of things they do. And then a letter to all the devotees. You can send, this is a great opportunity, you can send your children, yours in the service of Srila Prabhupada. But to the public, there's no sign of Prabhupada or Krishna. So I'm trying to present the real thing, because anything else is cheating. Srila Prabhupada writes in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 12, he opens the purport. Anyone know that verse? You know the numbers? I'm not very good at numbers, but I happen to know this one. Moghasha, mogha karamano, mogha jnana vichetasa. Rakshasim asuring chaiva, mohining ashritam shritaha. So Srila Prabhupada, now this verse clearly refers to the demons, right? Rakshasas. People are in Maya. But Prabhupada opens it by saying there are many devotees who assume themselves to be in Krishna consciousness and devotional service, but at heart do not accept the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, as the Absolute Truth. For them, the fruit of devotional service going back to Godhead will never be tasted. So maybe devotee, I'm a devotee, but they haven't really caught the thread or the real meaning of pure devotional service. And it becomes very difficult for them to catch the thread of pure devotional service if it's not clearly presented. We may wonder why Srila Prabhupada was so strong, and why was he so clear when all the others, they're fuzzy? Because he knew that unless you give the real thing straightforwardly, clearly, again and again and again, delineating reality from illusion for the welfare of all, if you give people a little chance, they'll catch on to Maya in the name of Krishna consciousness. So some devotees have caught the thread of pure devotional service, but as we learn from the quotation that I just read, others think they're in pure devotional service, but they're not. And Srila Prabhupada gave an example that it's not just by dressing as a devotee that a person is a devotee. Srila Prabhupada once said, disciple asked Srila Prabhupada that, you see, so someone had said to this devotee that, see, you're trying to be different from the rest of society, but you're making your own group. You all look the same. And the devotee, he related that to the verse Sarvo Padivinir Muktam Tatparat Vena Nirmalam Hrishikena Hrishikesha Sevanam Bhakti Ruchate. So the devotee brought up this point of designation. And the devotee said to Srila Prabhupada, when you speak of designation, one boy was asking, how come we are also having shaved heads and dressing like devotees? Our shaving of our head and dressing as devotees is a means to become free from all designations, but he may be seeing it as another designation. Prabhupada said, no, it doesn't depend on shaving the head, but this is in the process. There are so many shaven-headed people. Does it mean that he's in the process? Just to have a shaved head, does it make you a devotee? Just like a doctor carries a stethoscope. But if someone thinks, let me carry a stethoscope, I'll become a doctor. For a doctor, the stethoscope is required, but a false man takes a stethoscope and declares himself a doctor, a medical man, then he's cheating. So it's not just by dressing that one becomes a devotee. Seeing as devotees have some respect, here in India at least, it is a means to cheat people to dress as a devotee. And there have been many instances. Even when Prabhupada was present, there was one Agarwal who joined the movement and started enrolling life members. The only thing was that he had printed up his own receipt book and was going around making life members and he was engaged in the service of a devotee, namely himself, by boosting his bank account with the money raised from life membership. So he took the dress of a devotee to cheat the trust that people had and misused that. He was cheating. Here in Salem, before all of you came, there was someone made so many life members and so many promises and took so much money, and none of the promises manifests, at least not from the money that he collected, because now you're doing it all again. You're collecting money again and building a temple. He probably collected enough money at that time to build the temple. He cleaned out the place, so to speak. Devotee. Member of ISKCON with Tilak and this and that. And there are so many cases here in India. There have been, maybe at the present time, we have to be very careful as an organization that people don't misuse the trust placed in them, that they take money but they don't actually use it for Krishna. They're bogus. They're cheating. There's so many people who are bogus. Pseudo-sadhus, politicians. We don't expect politicians to tell the truth unless it's in their favor to do so. Business, in the modern age, business increasingly means cheating. There are some businesses which are not full of cheating, but in business, if you follow all the rules, then it's difficult to make a proper profit. It can be in some places, so you have to be. Now, it's most unusual that we here, we have the best teachings, the highest ideal, and still we attract people who are with wrong intentions, wrong motivations. You wouldn't bet. But they, people who come like that, they're not interested in the highest ideal. They just see it's an opportunity to exploit others. So, we have to, as far as possible, go on teaching the real teachings, because unless we give the real teachings and the real ideal, then definitely we'll attract bogus people. If we don't give the real thing, then definitely we'll get people who are not interested in the real thing. And if we give the real thing, we may also get people who are not interested in the real thing. The real thing is surrender to Krishna, knowing Him to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are so many sadhus in Gujarat. There's one sect which is very prominent. People respect them very much. They're very moral. They're very saintly in their behavior. But they have no idea of real spiritual life. They've invented some new, as a few hundred years ago, they dubbed some Swami as Narayana, and they say this is the incarnation. So it's cheating, it's nonsense, even though they appear to be very good sadhus. But what do they preach? They'll say, well, if you have good character, then God will bless you and you can become rich and happy in this world. And they say by studying the life of Vivekananda and this and that, then you can build up your character. And very strange. I mean, not the absolute truth as we understand it from the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. So they've stressed very much on having good character, but only devotees have good character. All else, they don't. Even though devotees, they may sometimes apparently cheat. I gave the example of Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada cheating. His apparent cheating, that in the first canto, we read from the first canto a few days ago. In the purport, how Srila Prabhupada says that it may be astonishing that great souls cheat others, but sometimes they do for a higher purpose. They may lie, they may steal. Generally, devotees don't do these things, but if required for Krishna's service, they may do. That's not the prerogative of neophyte devotees. But a devotee has to know how to live in this world in a manner that pleases Krishna, even if it's not completely in line with what people who want to live in this world for mutual sense gratification consider to be moral. So we have to be very careful to not carry our misconceptions into Krishna consciousness. And in coming to Krishna consciousness, pious people come to Krishna consciousness, generally speaking. But their understanding of piety is this: be good, be nice, smile, love, compassion, on the mundane platform. So if we preach like that, we may get many followers and people like it, but it's rotating, and it'll help us to rotate in the cycle of birth and death. We have to make it very clear that reality means Krishna, and anything not in relationship to Krishna, ritertam yat pratiyeta, napratiyeta chatmani. What's the next line? Tadvidyadatmano mayam yatabhasam yatatamaha. Anything not in relationship with Krishna, you should know. Krishna tells Brahma. It's simply an illusion, like a reflection, a little glimmer of light in the darkness. Little glimmer of light in the darkness might seem to be, it becomes outstanding in the darkness if there's a little glimmer, glowworm in the deep darkness of night. There's a glowworm, you can notice it, but the glowworms also glow in the day. Have you seen? After dawn, you can see that if you see, their light is going on, but it doesn't make any difference. So it seems when we're in the darkness of illusion, the saintliness of a Mother Teresa may seem very saintly, but in light of reality, it's really insignificant at best. So we have to become a blank slate. That example is given. You know what that is? You got that blank slate? Just like on the board, if there's nothing written, you can write something new. If there's already writing there, then you want to write surrender to Krishna on the board, but it's already full of writing. There's no space for it. So like this, Srila Prabhupada said, we have to become like a blank slate. Not that we already know so much. I mean, like Arjuna came to Krishna. Hey Krishna, I got a great idea. Let's not fight. And Krishna said, yeah, you're an idiot. You're a fool. Then Arjuna could, shishasteham shadimang tuang prapanna. Then Krishna could instruct. Now as long as Arjuna was trying to instruct Krishna, then Krishna couldn't instruct him. But when he accepted to be instructed by Krishna, then he could be instructed. So we are influenced by various things. And we have so many ideas and so many conceptions and misconceptions within our head. Even what is religion, we have to learn from Krishna. Religion as taught by Krishna is give up religion. Savadaman parijaja. Mamekam sharanam raja. All ideas of religion, just whatever I spoke in the Bhagavad Gita, just forget all that and surrender to me. Of course, Krishna says that throughout Bhagavad Gita, but he makes it very clear at the end. Otherwise, religion that goes on in this world, it's mostly some response to some social ethic. Why does a religion become prominent? And Buddhism became prominent This Buddha came to stop animal killing, but it was also much appreciated that he was open and liberal and was against the caste system, and anyone can come and join. That was very much appreciated at the time. So that was one reason why Buddhism came up. There must be, definitely some scholars must have analyzed the history of Christianity. Why did it catch on? There was some social need that it fulfilled. Definitely how Protestantism, the Protestantism of Luther, his ideas that we should only go to scripture, not through any priests, that became very popular because the priests were making such a bad job of being priests. So it became popular because it spoke to a social need or psychological need of many, many people. But Krishna consciousness, the absolute truth, isn't like that. We could say the social circumstances in America at the time Srila Prabhupada, when they were favorable for the hippies to take to Krishna consciousness. Some of them, not all of them, but the vast majorities of hippies didn't take to Krishna consciousness, at least not seriously. So we can say that, but Krishna consciousness is not dependent on any social situation or anything of this material world. The actual truth is independent. The distance between the earth and the moon is not dependent on what we think it is or what we think it should be. It is as it is. It's independent of our opinions. Okay, I'll finish there. I'll leave it there for now. And one more session on this cheating tomorrow, Krishna willing. If we're not all dead from coronavirus, but even if we get it, we're not likely to die in a day. So if you're still alive in the same body, say tomorrow. Hare Krishna. All glories to His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.